Well, I got back last night from Olivet. We had, I know it looks like I'm the only one too, so they must all be asleep because it was exhausting and I am exhausted. So if I nod off, you know, like always, just chuck something up here, wake me up. Well, I was there Wednesday to yesterday. We took, I think, 8 students. How many did we take, William? 8 students competed against teams from all across Wisconsin, Illinois, Indiana, and Michigan. It was an awesome time at our Nazarene University, but I am a little scatterbrained this morning, lack of sleep for several days. We'll do that. I'm feeling my age. I've been out of youth ministry for quite a while, and I feel it. So just forgive me this morning. But we're going to start a new series called Anointed. And this is kind of a response to our Easter series, kind of not, but it's just kind of the next step. We talked about the implications of Easter and what that means for us, the paying off our debt, the empty tomb, and then receiving the Holy Spirit. And now we're going to be talking about living anointed. So for the next 3 weeks, we're going to look at how we can better know the calling of God on our lives and how we can experience God's anointing on our lives and then how we can live called and anointed. And so I'm excited to go through this series with you all the next few weeks and see what God is going to do and what he's going to teach us throughout this series. So today, specifically, we're going to look at God's call on our lives. So what does it mean to be called? Well, the definition of call is to cry out to someone in order to summon them or attract their attention. The definition of calling is a strong urge toward a particular way of life or career or vocation. So God has a calling on your life. It may not be a call to full-time ministry in the local church. In fact, statistically, it's probably not a full-time ministry in a local church. Notice there's one of me and a lot more than one of you, right? It's statistically, that's not what we're all called to, but we are all called to something. So God could be calling you to all different kinds of things, whether it's occupational or not. It could be that God's calling you to be a dentist or a lawyer or a plumber or a teacher. It could be that you're in an occupation that you know and love, and God's calling you to do something like open up your home to someone who needs a place to stay. Or God might be calling you to start an initiative that helps single moms or to start a ministry that's focused on orphans. The options of God's calling are limitless. So the point I want to make to you today is that it doesn't really matter what God is calling you to as much as it matters that you take your calling seriously. So there's a book that kind of inspired this message of this series. It's by John Mark Comer, and it's called Garden City. And it's about the transformation of the Garden of Eden into the holy city that we see in Revelation. It's an incredible book, but it starts out with the premise that no matter what our work is, it is worship. So listen to this excerpt from the book Garden City. He says, In Hebrew, the language, there is a play on words. Adam, the man, is made from the Adama, the ground. It's a poetic way of saying that a human has a symbiotic relationship with the earth itself. We were made from the dust, which is why the first human profession was gardening. Now, the Lord had planted a garden in the east in Eden, and the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. Then he continues, let's drill down on two ideas here, work it and take care of it. The first word is abad in Hebrew, and it basically means work. But that's not the only way it's translated into English. Sometimes it's translated service. So work is service. Service to God, service to people made in his image, which is everybody, and I would argue service to the earth itself. But abad is also the word used all over the Hebrew Bible for worship. Interesting. So work and worship aren't two separate ideas. They're actually connected at the hip. They're two translations of the same word, and it's tragic that we think of worship as a few songs at church every Sunday. That is worship, of course, but in a Genesis-shaped worldview, all of life is worship. So that's just a page or two from that book, but I would strongly recommend it if you haven't read it. So your calling, whether it's your job or some ministry you feel drawn to or anything else you're doing, it is worship. It's so interesting that the same word for work in Genesis is also worship. Our calling is important because what we do is worship. So now you may have felt God calling you to something and thought, I could never do that. I'm not strong enough, or I'm not smart enough, or I'm not old enough. And the reality is that you're right. You aren't enough. But God's calling will always require God's help. So you are right to think about yourself as not enough. That's why we depend on God. And it's so easy to say no to a calling or just ignore it because it's too hard or because it's too inconvenient or too far away, or it would mean that I would have to put myself out there. Wouldn't it be incredible if we were a people who learned to listen and respond to God's call, no matter how impossible or improbable it may seem to us? So today, my hope is that our hearts would be opened by the Holy Spirit as we unpack God's call in our lives, and as we unpack what is interfering with that call, and unpack the importance of community in discerning His call for us. So today, we're going to be in 1 Samuel. Actually, we're going to be in 1 Samuel for this whole series. So let's go ahead and dive in to our passage today. It's 1 Samuel 3, verses 1 through 10. It says, "The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not gone out yet, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, 'Here I am,' and he ran to Eli and said, 'Here I am, you called me.' But Eli said, 'I did not call. Go back and lie down.' So he went and lay down. Again the Lord called, 'Samuel,' and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, 'Here I am, you called me.' 'My son,' Eli said, 'I did not call. Go back and lie down.' Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. A third time the Lord called, 'Samuel,' and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, 'Here I am, you called me.' Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So he told Samuel, 'Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening."' So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other time, 'Samuel, Samuel.' Then Samuel said, 'Speak, for your servant is listening.'" So today, we're going to look at three ways that we respond and interact with God's call. So the first one is clearing the way for God's call. In our passage today, we see that Samuel, a young boy, is ministering under Eli, and he didn't know how to recognize the voice of the Lord calling him. This was not because Samuel was unwilling to listen or to respond, but because he had not yet been introduced to the voice of God. Have you ever used walkie-talkies before? Yeah. Sometimes it's hard to hear the other voice coming through, right? Most of the time, it's because the person on the other end can't figure it out. Or they start talking, then they push the button, and then they let go before they stop talking. But every so often, there'll be a construction crew on the same channel, and that will cause interference. Or sometimes there's too much distance between the walkie-talkies, and that creates interference. Or sometimes the battery is low, and that will create interference. Now imagine you're hearing a brand new voice through all that distraction. It would be very hard to discern who it was and what they were trying to tell you. And I think we're seeing this play out in the same way in our lives every day. Interference is a very real thing between us and the voice of God. While we don't use walkie-talkies that much, I mean, we have cell phones now, right? But the sentiment is the same. Lots of things that we interact with get in the way of the voice of God. It's become a huge problem. We have social media, mainstream media, money, pride, power, status, career. These are so many different things that get in the way of the voice of God. But I want to talk about three specifically. They're on your screen. It's spoiler alert. The first and most common is busyness of life. Our days are often filled with work and family and then social obligations, leaving us exhausted and very little time to give to God. This constant state of activity can make it difficult for us to hear God's voice as we're bombarded with noise and distractions. We need to intentionally carve out time in our schedules for moments of solitude and silence where we can hear or quiet our hearts and our minds and be more receptive to the voice of God. The late theologian and author Dallas Willard said it this way. He says, "Hurry is the great enemy of spiritual life in our day. You must ruthlessly eliminate hurry from your life." He emphasized the importance of unhurried living, believing it was essential for deeper spiritual connection and living a fulfilling life. Willard also associated hurry with pathological busyness and its negative impact on love, peace, and joy. Interesting fun fact, Dallas Willard died in like 2014, and he said that like in the 90s. So if he felt that long ago, imagine how much this has ramped up 30 years later. Another form of interference I want to talk about is sin, right? Sin creates a barrier between us and God, making it difficult to discern his voice and then to respond to his call. When we allow sin to take root in our lives, it can work as a dampener or a blinder to see and hear God, preventing us from recognizing God's presence and guidance. It's crucial for us to regularly examine our hearts and lives, confessing and repenting of any sin that may be hindering or getting in the way of that relationship with God. Remember, God and sin don't mix. Jesus died so that we don't have to live under the control of sin. So when we choose to let sin take a hold on us, it's very hard to realize the righteousness of God and hear his voice. The last one I want to touch on in this is spiritual maturity or the lack thereof. Just as Samuel was initially unable to recognize the voice of the Lord due to his lack of experience and knowledge, we too may struggle to discern God's voice if we're not grounded in his word and growing in our faith. Spiritual maturity is developed through spiritual discipline. Things like consistent prayer, Bible study, fellowship with other believers, all of which help sharpen our spiritual senses and make us more attuned to the voice of God. Have you ever found that if you just put down your phone or shut off the TV or just go outside and get quiet, it's much easier to hear what God is trying to say? That's by design, right? In order to hear the voice of God and to understand God's call in our lives, we have to do whatever we can to get rid of interference. Remember the beginning of this story, Samuel's having a hard time discerning if this is God talking to him or Eli, right? He was sleeping in the temple, right? The literal presence of God. There wasn't even distractions, and he still was struggling to discern. We have to put ourselves in a good place. We have to get rid of distractions. So, once we've learned to listen to God's call, we need to respond, or our second thing is answering God's call. So answering God's call only happens when we align ourselves with the heart of God and participate in his plan for our lives. We see Samuel as a young boy struggling to recognize the voice of the Lord, and this struggle is not uncommon for us believers as we have to discern God's call amidst all the noise every day. But how do we recognize that he is indeed speaking to us? And then how can we answer him if we don't know it's him who's speaking? In the passage, Samuel initially mistakes the voice of the Lord for Eli, who is his mentor. Then, this is a common experience for many of us as we may attribute God's voice to our own thoughts or our opinions or the opinions of others or even just random coincidence. However, as we grow in our relationship with the Lord and become more familiar with His voice, we will be better equipped to hear His voice and answer His call. It's on your screen. Jesus says it like this in John 10, verses 22 through 30. Then came the festival of dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was in the temple courts walking in Solomon's colonnade. The Jews who were gathered around Him saying, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I did tell you, but you do not believe. The works I do in My Father's name testify about Me, but you do not believe because you are not My sheep. My sheep listen to My voice. I know them, and they follow Me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of My hand. My Father, who has given them to Me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of My Father's hand. I and the Father are one." So, in order to know God's voice, we must be close to the voice of God. This requires us to be regularly in God's presence, allowing the Holy Spirit to speak through us or speak to us through Scripture and prayer and reflection. Jesus is saying that we are His sheep and we are to listen to His voice. But in order to listen to the shepherd, the sheep spend a lot of time with the shepherd. Or if we think about it in the story of Samuel, we must adopt an attitude of humble submission and say, "Speak, Lord, for Your servant is listening." This is a posture of openness and receptiveness, and it's essential for understanding the answer or understanding and answering God's call. We also need to learn how to distinguish between His voice and the voices of the enemy. The enemy often seeks to deceive us by planting doubts and fears and lies in our minds. And these negative thoughts can create strongholds in our lives, preventing us from hearing or responding to God's call. And these strongholds interfere and restrict us from answering then the call of God. So to overcome these strongholds, we must be vigilant, guarding our hearts and our minds, and we do that by continually filling them with the truth of God's Word. So if we immerse ourselves in Scripture and allow the Holy Spirit to transform our thinking, then we will be better equipped to discern God's voice and resist the enemy's tactics. We also need to be willing to obey God's call, even when it seems difficult or impossible. Later on, Samuel was called to deliver a difficult message to Eli, one that would have had significant consequences for Eli and his family. And despite the challenges that lay ahead, Samuel obeys God's call and faithfully delivers the message. This willingness to obey, even in the face of adversity, is a hallmark of those who truly understand and answer God's call. But remember, we don't do any of this in isolation, right? Our life in the kingdom is meant to be shared with others, as we're all a part of the body of Christ. Now, Eli helps Samuel discern God's call. He provides guidance and support and encouragement, enabling Samuel to recognize and respond to the Lord's voice. We must rely on one another for wisdom and accountability and encouragement. And to foster that community, we must be intentional about relationships, cultivating relationships with fellow believers. Now, this might involve participating in small groups, attending church services, seeking out mentors or accountability partners. As we engage in these activities, we equip ourselves to discern God's call and encourage one another in our spiritual growth. And finally, we must prepare ourselves for seasons of waiting and uncertainty, right? We're not always going to hear the voice of God. We saw in verse 1 and 2 of our original passage that Samuel's call came at a time when the word of the Lord was rare. Did you catch that in the opening passage? It says, at a time when the word of the Lord was rare and there were not many visions. This suggests that Samuel's experience of hearing God's voice was not very common at that time. Similarly, we will face periods in our lives where God's call seems unclear or God feels distant or even absent. During these times, it's important to remain faithful and patient and trusting that God is still at work in our lives, even when we can't see it. So we continue to seek his face and immerse ourselves in his word and engage in prayer and worship. And as we do so, we'll be better positioned to recognize and respond to God's call when it comes. So answering God's call is a process. It involves many things, including recognizing God's voice, cultivating a listening heart, distinguishing between the voice of the Lord and the enemy, obeying God's call, engaging in community, and then remaining faithful during seasons of waiting. So as we commit ourselves to our calling, we experience the anointing of the Holy Spirit and outpouring of God's grace. It empowers us to fulfill our purpose and advance the kingdom, right? But God won't move forward without us. We still have a part to play. We have to answer his call in our lives. So once we get to that point where we say, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening," when we answer that call, then we get to discern God's call. That might be the hardest part, right? You ever had to try and just really think through, what am I doing? What's God calling me to? Well, later on in the book that I referenced earlier, again, I would highly recommend, Garden City, he has a chapter talking about this, discerning God's calling. It's so hard to know sometimes if God is calling us to something or if we're just desiring something out of our own wants. So the author gives us a list of questions to ask when we find ourselves trying to discern God's call. Here are the questions. He says, what do you love? What are you good at or bad at? What does your world need? Does it make the world a more garden-like place? What are the open doors in your life? What is God blessing in your life? What are people who know you saying? And then what's the Spirit stirring in your heart? So, tough questions, right? We take a minute to answer all those, but the reality is a lot of those questions are much easily answered in community. So we're going to lean on the importance of community here for a minute in discerning God's call. Let's revisit this role of community. Our passage today shows us an example of how the wisdom and guidance of Eli, who was a spiritual mentor, played a crucial role in helping Samuel recognize and respond to the voice of the Lord. We must be surrounded by a community of believers who can help us discern God's call and encourage us then to walk in that obedience. Community provides a wealth of wisdom and experience. As we journey through life, we encounter various situations and challenges that would require us to make decisions. And in many cases, these decisions have significant impact on our spiritual growth or our ability to fulfill God's call on our lives. By engaging in fellowship with other believers, we can draw upon their experiences and their insights, and that helps us navigate these critical moments. Just as Eli's wisdom and discernment helped Samuel recognize the voice of the Lord, that collective wisdom that comes from community can also help us discern God's call on our lives. Community provides us also with accountability and support. Right? The Christian walk is not meant to be a solitary journey. Instead, we're called to live in communion with one another, bearing each other's burdens, spurring one another on towards love and good deeds. So when we surround ourselves with a community of believers, we create this environment that we can be held accountable for our actions and decisions. And this accountability helps us keep on this path of obedience to God's call. And then a supportive community will provide us the encouragement and the strength that we need to persevere in our calling, even in the face of trials and opposition. I can tell you how true this has been in my life. When I was wrestling with the call to ministry, I was much younger, but especially when I started to feel this call and I started to ask questions, God placed person after person in my path who would say things that would affirm my call, and it was awesome. But I was also young enough that smartphones weren't a thing yet. I wasn't distracted all the time. I had space to pay attention to the voice of God. Remember when you used to just spend time like staring at the wall every day? You had to. You had no choice, right? We don't do that anymore. That's that space that we need back that God speaks to us in. So, a healthy community fosters spiritual growth and maturity. And as we engage in fellowship with other believers, we expose ourselves to a variety of gifts, right? The more people we are, the more people we're around that believe in Jesus, the more gifts that we are exposed to. That's more perspectives, too, to be hearing from. That can help us grow in our understanding of God and His will for our lives. It's all too easy to become consumed by our desires or our ambitions, and then we lose sight of the greater purpose that God has for our lives. But community is a place for affirmation and confirmation. So as we share our sense of calling with others, we open ourselves up to the possibility of receiving confirmation from God through those who know us well. This affirmation provides the confidence that we need, the assurance that we need to step out in faith and pursue the calling that God has placed on our hearts. So just as Samuel needed the guidance of Eli to discern the voice of the Lord, we need the support and encouragement of a community to help us discern and fulfill God's call in our lives. So let's not be discouraged by the noise and the distractions of this world. Instead, let's lean on each other and be open to the guidance of the Holy Spirit as we discern God's call. Remember, we are anointed and equipped with spiritual gifts, and we are anointed and equipped with the Holy Spirit. And together, we can make a real impact on our community if we listen and then answer and then discern the calling that God has placed on our lives. I want to end today by referencing the book Garden City one last time. He ends the chapter on God's calling with this little paragraph and these words, and this is kind of how we'll end today. He says, "Whatever it is that you're called to do, write a symphony, run a landscaping company, invent hydropower, create vaccines for AIDS, start a sandwich shop, teach English literature at Yale, or come up with a really good vegan ice cream recipe. Whatever it is, if you don't do it, not only do you rob yourself of the life that God has called you to live, but you rob the rest of us. We need you to be you, so don't sell us short. Give us all you've got." It's so important that we're in a position where we're not distracted and where we've cleared a way to hear God calling in our lives. It's so important to answer God's call and then discern God's call through the help of community. God knows what the world needs, and He wants to partner with you to restore it back to Him. So, are you listening? Are you answering? And are you discerning? Would you pray with me this morning? Father, thank you for your call on our lives. Thank you for anointing us. Thank you for loving us, caring about us enough to partner with us. It's a very humbling feeling knowing that someone like me or someone like us, these lowly humans, have a specific call from you on our lives. God, help us not to take that lightly this morning. Help us to be people who set aside distractions every day. We are just humans and we do live in a noisy, busy world, but help us to be sensitive to your Holy Spirit and what you are saying to us. And then God, give us the courage to answer that call. And we ask that you would just help us to be a people of discernment through community. That we would find ourselves in a group of believers that know us well and that can help us discern your call in our lives. God, you are so good, and we thank you so much for the work that you're doing. We thank you for the call that you're placing on our lives, and we just ask that we would live out and fulfill that call this week as we leave this place. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.